So also Dr. Koopman refers to circulating tumor DNA analyses. What do we know about that in breast cancer?
The circulating tumor ctDNA is definitely a diagnostic tool, very much an evolution. And the main question is, well, what's its possible clinical utility? And basically, the only real clinical utility I know of right now is one of two. It can detect HER2 mutations very well. And interestingly, in my experience and others, the invasive lobular cancers are enriched in the HER2 mutations, usually, however, under the selective pressure of an aromatase inhibitor or other endocrine therapy. This woman has not had endocrine therapy. It's not unreasonable, however, to get a ctDNA sample on her. I usually do get them when I have patients with metastatic disease, really looking for HER2 mutation in those who are HER2 not amplified. Interestingly, Neil, it's my experience, and now several series have shown that an ESR1 mutation is almost mutually exclusive with a HER2 mutation. The cells don't need both.
Can you pick up
However,
the ER mutations by circulating DNA?
yes, you can look at the ESR1 mutations, the ER mutations, but I don't think that has particularly strong clinical utility. Neil, not at this point. There's a little bit of data suggesting patients may do slightly better with fulvestrant versus
I mean, I think
exemestane.
it's.
But, we're not using much exemestane as a single agent anyway. These days, we're using CDK4/6 inhibitors and AI or fulvestrant. And then a lot of times, we're using afterwards exemestane plus everolimus or fulvestrant plus everolimus. So there are situations where it could have some clinical utility. For example, if someone started with letrozole plus a CDK4/6 inhibitor, first line, did well, has indolent biology, you'd like to figure out if you're going to give second line. Most of us would give fulvestrant alone or give fulvestrant with everolimus. I don't think we'd be going on to single agent exemestane, but if somebody, let's say the fulvestrant injections were painful, let's just say, and they were considering, well, gee, is exemestane alone an option, then it might be helpful to rule out an ESR1 mutation because of the SOPHIA trial showing improved progression-free survival with fulvestrant over exemestane in women who had a ESR1 mutation. But I personally think it's a pretty limited clinical utility just because we don't use very much single agent exemestane these days anymore. So
Although,
to
I mean,
me,
to me, it's kind of cool just to be able to see those mutations. But let me just ask you, as a general rule, kind of what we've heard from the lung people, because of course, there, it's really very, very useful, is if you see a mutation in circulating DNA, you believe it. But if you don't see it, you don't necessarily believe it's not there. Is that kind of the way you approach it in breast?
yes, I think that's well stated, Neil. I will say that the emerging data in metastatic breast cancer shows very good concordance generally between the tissue, a biopsied metastatic lesion with next-gen sequencing and ctDNA. In fact, Neil, the recent data from Aditya Bardia and colleagues at MGH, which I believe was from ASCO 2017, showed a greater number of mutations in the ctDNA. I think being reflective of more clonal diversity in the ctDNA than in the, isolated biopsy that you'll get from one metastatic
Right.
lesion. I would say that the ctDNA data are getting increasingly strong and even suggestive of potentially some superiority over a biopsy of one metastatic lesion.
Yeah, no, we've heard that same thing in lung. One other issue with this patient, Dr. Koopman brought out was recently the CA125 levels are going up. And this patient, again, with lobular cancer, apparently, is having upper abdominal bloating. She's been evaluated with upper GI endoscopy. Obviously, he's tuned in to the possibility of GI involvement. CT scans are not showing anything. He's saying, should she have a diagnostic laparoscopy? I mean, there are a lot of reasons for people to have GI symptoms, but what about this situation where you see a patient who looks like they're having progression with lobular and you can't really pin down that there's a GI thing kind of going on?
This is not an uncommon scenario with lobular cancer. One of the patients in our practice right now has gastric infiltration only. It is a very difficult situation to monitor because you have to do endoscopies and do multiple biopsies, and even that's imperfect, you know, because it's submucosal infiltration, and the woman's symptoms are very spot on with the status of her disease. Also, though, I have found over the years that an MRI of the abdomen is more sensitive than a CT scan of the abdomen for looking at this subtle omental thickening, you know, because you also get this subtle omental thickening. But if this woman had worsening symptoms, Neil, in the GI tract, and rising tumor markers, to be extra safe, you could get ctDNA because they quantitate that for you as well. I will really want to emphasize here that in my experience, the invasive lobular cancer most likely to have a HER2 mutation is in the abdominal cavity. So I would definitely follow this woman with ctDNA because a HER2 mutation leads to a host of therapeutic options for her. But I probably wouldn't do a laparoscopic, a laparotomy, and a peritoneoscopy. I probably wouldn't do that. I would probably just treat the woman if her tumor markers, ctDNA were rising and her symptoms were worsening, because we know lobular cancer has a predilection for the abdominal cavity.